Thank you so much, Ben. Good job as usual. Yeah. Don't you appreciate them? Yeah. You don't get that everywhere you go to church. Unity is a little different though, right? Well, as Bev was telling you a moment ago about the seats and the money and everything, it reminded me of a couple of stories. I have to remind you of three stories, but I'll only tell you two of them. One is there were three little kids together, two little girls and a little boy. One little girl said, you know, my father's a poet. He writes a poem and they give him $100. The next little boy said, well, my father's a musician, a music writer, and he writes a song and they give him $500. They looked at the other little boy and he said, well, my daddy's a preacher, and when he preaches, it takes four ushers to take up all the money. And there's another one, too. Three preachers were together. They were talking about how they handled the money in church. And one of them said, well, I draw a circle on the ground, I take the money in the offering plate and throw it up in the air, and everything that lands inside the circle goes to the church, and everything that lands outside the circle goes to me. And the second minister said, well, I do the same thing except the other way around. Whatever lands in the middle is mine, the outside's the church's. They looked at the third guy and he said, well, the way I do it, I throw it up in the air, and everything that goes up is God's and everything that comes down is mine. Is that enough? All right, I'll save the other one for another time. Well, during this month, we are taking a look at imagination. And particularly today, we're looking at imagination and prosperity. What a great combination that is. I want to begin by going back and reviewing a bit some of our definitions, because some of these get kind of long and involved. Charles Fillmore said that an image, which is the stuff of imagination, an image is a mental representation of anything not actually present to the senses. Everything that is manifested was first a mental picture and was brought into expression by the forming power of the imagination. Man accumulates a mass of ideas about substance in life, and with his imagination, he molds them into shape. Each one of us must not only see the image of our desires as a theory, but we must also form it into a living, breathing thing through every motive and act. Man gets the ideal images necessary to express his perfect organism from the one perfect mind. Now, I want to touch on something here for just a moment, a little bit of a metaphysics lesson, I suppose. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody was leading the meditation and you just didn't get it? You know, you're off somewhere else. I know that never happens when I do it, but in some places that happens. Well, I think part of what happens is that we meditate differently one from another. And we imagine differently one from another. Now, you've heard me talk about this over and over again, that I see pictures in my head. You say tree, I see a tree in my head. And Bev reminds me quite frequently, because I forget it quite frequently, that everybody doesn't see things in their head. And if I'm assuming that everybody sees things in their head and I do meditation that way, some of you are going to be scratching your head wondering what's going on. So let's understand that one of the ways that we experience meditation and one of the ways that we experience imagination is with pictures in our head and movies going on in our heads, images in our head all the time. That's one way of doing it. And that's not any better than any other kind, but that's one. It's very common. A second way is with feelings. Some people meditate with feeling instead of images. When you talk about love, they feel love. They don't see a color. They don't see a shape. They feel that love. When we talk about safety and acceptance and affirmation, they feel that rather than seeing it. And that's a perfectly valid way of doing it. And if that works for you, then by all means use it, regardless of what anybody says about any other way to do it. So there's a matter of seeing images, and then there's a matter of feeling those ideas. And then a third way is that some people process with words. When sometimes, for some people, when you say tree, they see the word tree, or they experience the word tree, and everything that means for them is packed in that one little word. Now that, I tried that one time, it just doesn't work at all for me. I know what works for me, so I don't worry about the rest of them anymore. I would encourage you to find your way and be comfortable with it. And don't put yourself in the situation of saying, well, some famous person that wrote a book meditates this way, I got to meditate like that, or I'm wrong. That won't work at all. You can use what someone else does as a point of reference. And you might even try something that somebody else does and modify it to work for you. When you go to buy clothes, you don't pull the first thing off the rack and say, okay, I got to fit into this, do you? You find the right size for you. And you adapt the clothes to you to feel good. It's the same thing with meditation and using our imagination. You find what fits for you. You don't have to make yourself fit into something else. That makes sense? Well, keep that in mind, because that's a stumbling block for a lot of people. I've talked to so many people who try to meditate the way I do and it doesn't work. And I said, well, don't do it that way. Find the way that works for you. And there may be some way, we're using this word a lot nowadays, hybrid, of all those things that works for you. There may be some way that I've not mentioned that works for you. It works perfectly. It may be standing on your head. If that's the way it works, then do it by all means. Probably not in public, but anyway. So as you're working on meditation, as you're working on imagination, find what works for you and use that. Okay? Now, let me go back and give you a brief definition of prosperity, since we're talking about imagination and prosperity. Prosperity is the consciousness of God as the abundant, everywhere present resource, unfailing, ready for all who open themselves to it through faith. Prosperity is based on the conscious possession of the idea of God's abundance back of all things. That things come and go, but the idea of abundance endures. Now, we all are interested in prosperity, that idea of unending, that idea of abundance that's always there. And we have different ways of going about reaching for that or being open to that. But the way that I've seen a lot of people work with prosperity is they imagine being prosperous. They imagine winning a lottery. That's one that's always there in people's minds. They imagine getting an inheritance that's waiting for them somewhere. They imagine about getting a new job. They imagine about an unexpected windfall of money coming to them. They imagine, as we talk next, we'll talk next week about health, that coming to them, or a relationship. Whatever prosperity is for you, that abundance is. What often we do is imagine that being there, and then we imagine ourselves being happy about it. Now, the problem with that is that before I imagine that prosperity in my life, I'm miserable, right? I see myself in lack. I need something I don't have. So I'm going to use my imagination to imagine prosperity so then I can be happy and fulfilled. And that may happen to some degree or another, but someone said one time that the only thing worse than not getting what you want is getting what you want. Because very often you get what you want and then you say, okay, where's the buzz now? Where's the excitement here? I had a teacher one time who had 3 PhDs. And he said the first one didn't do it, and the second one didn't do it, and the third one didn't do it, and then I gave up on it. He was looking for something to validate himself. He's a brilliant man. But he was looking for something to validate, and the PhD was supposed to validate him, and he didn't do it. And there may be moments of celebration or happiness when something is manifested for you, but anything in the outer cannot give you that deep inner peace that we're looking for. It cannot give you that sense of being that you're looking for. That has to come from within. So as we see so many people imagining prosperity coming to them and then imagining how they feel about it, I want to suggest that we turn that around. Let's do it backwards from the way it's usually done. I want to encourage you that the first point of your imagining work is about you. Now, I know we're told not to be selfish and all that kind of thing, but a lot of times that's a bunch of hooey, you know. It just doesn't work that way. So I want to encourage you to use your imagining to imagine you being happy, being whole, being fulfilled, being at peace, being courageous, being wise, being everything that these 12 faculties we were talking about this year represents. See yourself, feel yourself, speak yourself in that way first, and then imagine prosperity coming to you in whatever form it may come. That way, when prosperity arrives, prosperity finds a happy place. Prosperity finds a place that's open and receptive. You wouldn't invite somebody over to your house, then dread them coming, would you? And when they get there, you say, oh, you know, this was such a pain. I had to cook, and it was hot in here. Your company probably wouldn't come back if they stayed at all. And think about prosperity as we talk about thoughts being things. Think about prosperity as being a guest. What kind of preparation are you doing for prosperity to arrive as your guest? Is prosperity going to find a place that's miserable, a place that's dark, a place that seems in lack, whatever? Or is prosperity going to find a place full of joy and full of light and full of peace, full of expectation, full of positive thoughts? I submit to you, suggest to you, that the person who first imagines about prosperity and then imagines themselves being happy over that, it's not going to be nearly as happy as the person who imagines themselves being happy and then imagine prosperity showing up in whatever form it may be. You might say, well, I don't see prosperity come and then see me as happy. But watch yourself, because that's very common. That's kind of what we're taught to do. So I want to encourage you, as we're thinking this week about imagination and prosperity, take the time, first of all, if you need permission, I am now giving you permission to think about yourself first. Right? I saw a bumper sticker one time, and it had joy in vertical letters, J-O-Y. Jesus, others, and you equals happiness. I almost stopped and said, hey, can I talk to you about this bumper sticker? Yeah? Because it's the other way around. It's you, others, and Jesus is my way of looking at it. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. If you don't hold some kind of respect for yourself, you cannot respect others. And if you don't have an open place for prosperity to be in you, it will rain down on you and just keep running away from you if you're not open, if you're not receptive. So that's the beginning place, is you and me. So use your power of imagination, which is taking all these ideas that come from spirit and assembling them in some kind of unique way from your perspective. Take that time to use your power of imagination, imagining you healthy, whole, happy, peaceful, joyful, brilliant, whatever it is that you want to manifest. See yourself, feel yourself, speak yourself into that place first, and then turn your attention to prosperity. Because one of the things that might happen, as it has happened to others before, is if you prepare yourself and then you turn to prosperity, you suddenly say, well, you know what? I don't really want all that stuff that I said I did before. Yeah? I don't want a house with 14 bedrooms. That's more than I need, all I care about. So that goes away. If we get ourselves square first, if we find that place of peace and power within ourselves first, then we have the wisdom to see things differently out there. And what we call to ourselves from that realm of prosperity may be very different than it would have been otherwise. So save yourself some trouble, save yourself some time, save yourself some energy, and look at yourself first. Imagine yourself first. Now remember, imagination is taking an idea and putting it into reality. So you may be wanting something for yourself in the back of your mind that you've been hesitant to even talk about before. I've given you permission to be selfish. It's okay to do that. So whatever it is that you're thinking in the back of your mind that you have never manifested, it's time to do it. Some people have the question about, am I worthy? Do I deserve this? Have you ever asked yourself if you're human? You probably ask that about somebody else, but probably not yourself. I've never had a discussion with someone about whether they're human or not. I've had many, many, many discussions about whether you're deserving or not, or whether you're worthy or not. Lots of people have that issue because they're told that they're not. You don't rarely hear, or you don't often hear, that you're not human. So I would suggest that you put this question of worthiness and deserving at the same level as the question about being human. It's a ridiculous question because there is no deserving. We think, oh, well, if I'm good enough, then I deserve it. If I accomplish enough, I'm worthy of it. If I'm a good person, I read my Bible and like the preacher instructed me to do. Yeah. There's no concern about being worthy or deserving. There's no such thing. The best of us is no more deserving of God's love than the worst of us. The smartest of us is no more worthy of all the blessings that come from Spirit than somebody who's not so smart. It's not an issue, so stop wasting your time on it. Don't ask the question, because there's no answer. If you're human, then go for it. If not, then come talk to me about it. We'll see where it goes. So again, this week, as we're focusing on imagination and prosperity, where are you going to start? Right here. Start with yourself. Use your power, your amazing power of imagination, to take any idea that you've ever had about yourself wanting to be something or do something, and use your power of imagination and bring that to the forefront of your mind and find a way to manifest. And interestingly enough, another thing that happens when you do focus on yourself first and get yourself prepared for it, very often prosperity finds you. People who have done this sort of thing, I've heard stories about, you know, I wasn't even thinking about this, and all of a sudden I got this money from somebody who owed me money that I never thought I'd ever get it back. I wasn't even looking for another job, and all of a sudden a better job showed up. Why did that happen? It's because you're open and receptive. And the vibrations that you're putting out into the universe are of openness and receptivity. If you're sitting here cringing in fear because you're so deep in lack, what are you putting out into the universe? Fear and lack. What's going to come back to you? Fear and lack. It's like saying to the universe, hey, I'm really immersed in fear here. Could you give me a little more? Because that, essentially that's what happens. And when I'm sitting here full of love and light and peace and joy and power, and I'm radiating that out into the universe, guess what I get back? I get more of it. And prosperity is right on the heels of it. So very often when we are open and receptive, prosperity finds us, as I will talk about healing next week. So go into this week with these ideas percolating in your mind. I'm going to use my imagination for me first, and then I'll turn my amazing imagining powers toward prosperity, and I will be open and I will be receptive. So you can see the images of yourself being alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. Now, how many of you know that little song? I'm not going to sing it. I won't put it in your mind today. Bev would be mad at me if I did that. But see yourself being alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. Okay? And let that be real to you. And if it's feelings that work for you, feel yourself being open and receptive. And if it's words that you use the words to say, I am abundant. And prosperity flows in rippling streams of plenty, as Charles Fillmore said. However it is that you make that work for yourself, use it. Imagination, prosperity, imagination, prosperity, peanut butter, chocolate. God bless you, my friend.
I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. Fortunately, the band has another number they'll play for you in just a minute. I think they've had enough. I want to apologize for the little bit of movement we've had here in the sanctuary. We just had an air conditioning issue, so that's what we were running around about. Apologies to Lawrence for moving around during his lesson. But as we focus on our imagination and prosperity, I just want to say we are here today in this resurrected and renewed unity of Pompano, which became abandoned in 2010, and it was through imagination of a group of people who wanted to have a wonderful, healthy, loving spiritual community, a unity community. And here we are, and we continue with that. So I invite your offerings today. We don't pass the plate, but it's right there in the aisle way. Invite you to give as you were led to give. And as the Bible instructed us eons ago, be a cheerful giver. And as Lawrence pointed out, feel yourself full of joy and love and abundance. And then it feels so good to give to places where you value what they do and what they give. And we hope that you will value Unity of Pompano and give us your support. We fully appreciate it. We appreciate all of you here today for giving us these beautiful seats as we go forward with many, many more opportunities to fill them. So let us bless our gifts today. Our offering that we've loved and used for years now. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack, and we allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. An ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it, we experience it, we freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us, and so it is. Amen.